This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. This program is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and this show is sponsored by Better. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better or visit Better, B-E-T-R, dot app now. Sign up today and get a free $10 hookup. No deposit necessary. And on the program here, the Wednesday edition of Prop Points, massive program forthcoming as always. We'll catch you up on the news and notes coming down. This is kind of the most important injury day of the year because it's the first one. So we'll do that. And then we'll quickly go over the most interesting, good and bad, wide receiver corner matchups powered by, of course, Fantasy Points data and all the tools that we have there, and mixing and matching all the coverage maps, coming up with data that relate to the upcoming matchups. We'll also talk IDP. How about IDP, individual defensive players? And we've got, I believe, the best in the business, Justin Varnes, who was like 7-4 on his props last year, maybe even 8-2 down the stretch. But he'll pop in with, I believe it's a cup. I definitely know it's some props for week one. I think maybe a season-long prop or two, but let the winning commence in about 15 minutes because, again, IDP props are, I don't say easy, but compared to what we do, what we focus on, the skill player props, pretty darn easy. Brett Whitefield of FantasyPoints.com will join us as well, all about the data, but also a football head, former college football player, former bigwig over at Pro Football Focus back in the day, over at FantasyPoints.com now and kind of leading that team. So we'll get his props for this week. He's got some season-long and weekly looks at some players that he's into prop-wise. And then we'll wrap up the show with an early look at the week one lines and what they're telling us. Basically, we can certainly read plenty into those numbers here, the totals on the game and all that good stuff. Well, news, notes, and nuggets here. Let's go around the league quickly, as fast as we can. Brown running back Jerome Ford listed as the starter on the team's week one depth chart. But I have really warmed up to Quinshon Judkins. In fact, I did a draft last night, not that long ago, quite frankly. I think it ended at like 1 a.m. Eastern over at the FFPC. Love the FFPC. That is tight end premium. I'm taking Quinshon Judkins. Last two nights, I did two high stakes draft, and I'm taking him in the 10th round. He may play week one. So I know we're not starting him in week one, and nothing's official yet as of Wednesday afternoon, as of an hour ago. But the reporting continues to be that something's going to break quickly. You know, deadline spur action. This is week one, and that he might actually suit up and be active for week number one. Again, we're not playing him in week one at all. We're not considering him, but sure as heck means in terms of the long-term outlook for the year. I mean, the guy took, it was like the 36th pick of the draft. And he's good, by the way. I think he's very good, Quinshon Judkins. In Pittsburgh, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin did say that Jalen Warren will be the quote-unquote feature back for the Steelers, feature runner to open the season. And Caleb Johnson is fourth on the depth chart behind, actually third. Only third behind Jalen Warren, the aforementioned Warren, and Ken Gainwell. Gainwell could be a little bit of a monkey wrench here in the backfield, but I've been over this a lot. I understand Caleb Johnson does have upside. I'm not a huge fan, but I understand why they brought him in there. And Jalen Warren is not a lead back. I mean, he's not a feature runner. He might be okay for a few months as your primary back. Like, he's the guy who gets the most snaps, but you're not going to feed the rock to him. Good receiver, good in pass pro and all that. So I still think Warren is the answer, but his ceiling is probably not great. Probably baked in was ADP, seventh, eighth rounder. But I do think Caleb Johnson probably has more upside, but also he could be bleh for like 2 months. So that's it. I know they brought him in for a reason, Caleb Johnson. Artie Smith, all that. They're going to run the ball. Good fit of the scheme. In Jacksonville, the Jags listed Travis Hunter as their starting wide receiver and a backup corner. So that's just, I'm not surprised at all. I am expecting him to play a lot at receiver, maybe even more than corner. I think they're all in, and they're going to maximize this dude, and we'll see how it goes. But Adam Schefter and I are not feeling it, as we discussed on yesterday's show. In Carolina, you know, Jalen Coker on IR, and it's serious, so he might miss more than 4 games. So they did re-sign Hunter Renfrow, who's going to start as their slot receiver. J.K. Dobbins also going to start. Not a surprise. We kind of talked about this with Adam Schefter yesterday. I, unfortunately, like a dum-dum, I went a little bit late on the segment. I cut him off. It was ugly, but that's what I said to somebody on Twitter. It's like, come for the content, stay for the entertainment, because I know some people were tickled by that, but hey, not great, but we had the good information, and we did talk off the air, and long story short, I'm still in on RJ Harvey, but I am understanding that this could take a minute as J.K. Dobbins. Right now, J.K. does not stand for just kidding, but it probably will stand for just kidding by Halloween. Najee Harris is practicing, so there you go. An entire summer of headlines kind of doesn't mean all that much, even though he's not ready to rock and roll, I would imagine, having missed all those reps, but he's going to play week one. In Jacksonville, Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne are listed as the co-starters. You know, in this case, I usually go to the cheaper one. That's Bigsby. I think he's probably got a little bit more upside if things go swimmingly. He is a viable receiver. And Travis Etienne, look, we've been there. He's not that good at the end of the day. That's the bottom line. In D.C., the Commanders list JCM, a.k.a. Bill, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt as their fourth running back. Again, not a big deal. Chris Rodriguez is going to be the guy early. Let's be patient. Cue the Guns N' Roses patience here, the little Axl Rose whistling. It's always in my head when I'm thinking about these type of things, like just be a little patient here. We're not going to go off if we're rookies playing running back, in particular in September, most of the time. In Kansas City, this is good news. Hollywood Brown practicing early this week with that foot angle thing that was dating back to last year. They did kind of downplay it. I'm like the only person in America who's been into Hollywood Brown. You know, he is good. He can run. He did show pretty good chemistry with Patty Mahomes last year. In Tennessee, Iyemonur, the rookie, Elik Iyemonur, listed as a first teamer on the depth chart. That has been my contention all along because I think he projects best opposite Calvin Ridley. He's the best X receiver that they have. Patriot coach Mike Vrabel said that Stephon Diggs will play week one against the Raiders. A pretty good feeling there, pretty good vibe. And then speaking of good vibes and good feelings, The Athletic's Zach Berman reporting that, or believing that Devontae Smith could near his 2022 totals, which is significant because the dude caught 95 balls that year for just under 1,200 yards and 7 TDs. And I've been of the same opinion that the Eagles are going to have to throw it more. Why? Because they cannot throw it any fewer than they did last time, any less than they did last time, because they were very close to leather helmet era or territory. So I do think they'll have to throw it just a little bit more. Well, speaking of Skinny Batman, he checks in on the good list in terms of the wide receiver corner matchups here in week number one. So let's go over those very quickly. We've got Skinny Batman, Devontae Smith. He'll see a lot of Deron Bland in the slot, and we've got some pretty good data there for Devontae Smith in this matchup that we'll get to probably tomorrow as we preview the game. Bland is Mr. Pick Six, but you know, suspect on the outside. He does give up some big plays. How about DJ Moore? I'm not into DJ Moore this year, but I might be this week against Jeff Okuda, the former number one pick, but he's been a bust. Let's be honest, gives up big numbers. Malik Nabers against Trey Amos. Not a household name there. Nabers downplaying the injury. Looks like he's going to go. He gives up or gave up last year. Limited sample, but a very healthy 0.35 fantasy points per route run. I like Josh Downs. Very good matchup inside this week against often Jason Marshall. McLaurin, I wasn't in on him this year, but I like him against Deontay Banks. Ibuka should be busy because Mike Evans is going to see a lot of AJ Terrell. So let's get into the bad matchups here for some studs. Calvin Ridley, maybe not a stud, but he's on the border. Shadow time this week against Pat Surtain. So I've been big on Calvin Ridley. Not really this week. How about George? George Pickens tomorrow night. Should see a lot of Quinyon Mitchell there on the outside, who's very good. They have talked about lining up George inside, but I don't know. Week one, maybe they keep him somewhat static on the outside. Now, we could see a little Kelee Ringo. That would be a good matchup for Pickens, but Mitchell's a stud, as is Derek Stingley for the Houston Texans, who I think will see a lot of Puka Nacua. That's a tough one. Real tough is Garrett Wilson. Shadow coverage against Joey Porter. And then, as I said, Mike Evans against A.J. Terrell. A little worrisome there. Quick look at your wide receiver corner matchups. Feels good to talk real football in week number one. We'll talk IDP props with Justin Varnes on the other side. But first, if you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. You download the Better app, you pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and you watch the action unfold. If your pick hits, you win. And right now, they've got an NFL kickoff new user offer. Sign up today, get a free $10. No deposit necessary. Head over to better.app. That's B-E-T-R, or download Better from the app or Google Play Store. Use the promo code VEASAN for your free $10 deposit bonus today. Better app. Justin Varnes is better than everyone on IDP props, and he's next.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. We'll be joined by Brett Whitefield of the aforementioned website, all over the data, the film, the matchup, the schematics, and he does, in fact, have some props that he is into, a couple for the season and several for this week. Well, we are going to go to the Progressive guest line now to bring in another contributor over at FantasyPoints.com on the Progressive guest line. It's Justin Varnes, IDP analyst for FantasyPoints.com, and that is individual defensive players. And Justin is on the X machine at Down with IDP. Why? Well, he's down with IDP. Hey, Justin, how are you? Are you ready for another season?
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm excited about the 2025-2026.
Well, let's get right into it here. I see you've got Zach Bond. You like this one. Over 7.5 tackles plus assists. That game, of course, tomorrow night. I think it bodes pretty well for what I'm seeing with, like, maybe Javonte catching some balls, maybe Ferguson doing some things here. But what do you see here with Zach Bond, and why do you like the over 7.5 on the tackles and assists? I think we lost him. I think we lost Justin, which is very, very unfortunate, but we'll get him back in a moment. But Zach Bond, I would think, will be looking very good, quite frankly, because the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, are going to be in control, man. It's going to be wild there at the link against the hated Dallas Cowboys. And yeah, I do think that they'll be holding the lead, playing from behind, and you get Javonte Williams. Hey, Javonte Williams is the lead back for the Dallas Cowboys. Like it or not, you got Jaden Blue there, the rookie. You've got Miles Sanders. It is one of the worst depth charts that we've seen here. And while we're getting Justin Varnes back, maybe we can pop in here and take a look at the total in that game. And what is that telling us? Well, it is the second highest total on the board. This is not a huge week for totals. I mean, week one, certainly you got to temper your expectations, but 47.5 points, that's not too shabby. I think also part of that is the Eagles defense. They're going to have to take a step back. I just don't think there's going to be as good, Justin, as we welcome you back with that little technical glitch, but you are in fact back. I was just talking about the Cowboys-Eagles being the second highest total on the board, 47.5, which to me indicates that, you know, the markets are not totally appreciating the Eagles' defense in terms of how they finished the season last year. Still going to be good, but, you know, they lost some dudes. I don't know if they're going to be as good. And I certainly do expect Dallas to be playing from behind, as I mentioned. Javonte Williams, I'm kicking the tires on, like, his receiving prop. And then also Jake Ferguson. But you like Zach Bond tomorrow night to go over 7.5 tackles plus assists.
Yeah, that's right. I totally agree. I think that total tells us a lot. I do think that the Eagles defense, as good as it will should be this year, it's going to be really hard to repeat what they did last year. And I think people are overvaluing what they did last year. It's a new year. We have some new personnel, some other players a little older, some stuff like that. So I think the Cowboys are actually going to put up some more yardage and more plays than people might think. And that really puts Zach Bond in a great position. Mainly what I like about Zach Bond is his role in this Eagles defense puts him in a position to make more tackles than your average linebacker. His tackle rate last year was 19.7%, which is astronomical. Now, even with regression, I think he should be somewhere around 17-18% tackle rate, and that should put him up around 10 or 11 tackles. So I really like Zach in this game.
What about those linebackers? Nolan Smith, you got Trotter, Bond, Campbell. You know, the defense is good. Secondary was lights out, but I mean, they got to have some sort of deficiency here. They're not going to be number one or number two again. I'm kind of looking at these linebackers. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to put you on the spot, but if you recall last year, they were a little giving to tight ends in particular.
Yes.
You know, they were great against the run. They were hard to throw over the top against them. So it makes sense for them to be a little vulnerable underneath. What do you think of it with Ferguson tomorrow night?
Yeah, I really like Ferguson. They're still toying with who's playing in the slot there, how much they're going to lean on Cooper DeJean for that. But I really think, you know, where they are, we love Zach Bond, but Trotter next to him, I'm worried about. Nolan Smith just probably won't get that much time against the tight ends, but I think they're not going to have Vaughn line up against him much. And I think Ferguson, particularly if it's against some of those cornerbacks, Ferguson should have a pretty good day over the middle. I think, you know, them being down to Kobe Dean is bigger than a lot of people realize.
Right. True. I mentioned Dean, but he also hurt. Moving on here, You got Quincy Williams over 7.5 tackles plus assists. You know, I mean, look, this is the lowest total on the board. This is like a leather helmet matchup here between the Jets and the Steelers. So I'd imagine those defenders going to get a lot of tackles and assists and all that. What do you see here with Williams?
That's it. I think as much as we want to see, you know, old Aaron Rodgers or previous Aaron Rodgers, he's old now, but the old version of Aaron Rodgers air it out. I do think we're probably going to see a little bit more a ground game and a little bit more attacking over the middle and, you know, in those like short zone areas. So Quincy and I really think that entire like slot and box area will be a lot busier than I think some people will think with Pittsburgh's run game as well. So 7.5 is a pretty average tackle prop. Quincy Williams should be out there for every snap. You know, typically in a game like this, we're looking at more like 8 to 10 tackles. So I'm being a little risky here. Normally, I like my threshold to be a little higher, but I do like Quincy Williams this week. I do think as low as the point total will be, sometimes that's misleading. That doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to see a ton of snaps, and I think we will from the Pittsburgh Steelers, sure. And that's going to help Quincy Williams.
Yeah, I'm looking at waiting for that Steeler line to actually, you know, block it up pretty well. They every year they start off slow despite, you know, some talent up there. And then finally, I believe you love Roquan Smith. He's kind of like a personal cheat code of yours. I mean, great player. Over 8.5 tackles and assists. And by the way, we're expecting a lot of points here in Baltimore, Buffalo.
Yeah, Roquan's one of those guys. He's like Patrick Willis or Luke Kuechly. These guys, they're matchup proof. A lot of what we look for when we're identifying IDP props, these defensive player props, is matchup based, how many snaps we think they're going to get, you know, all of that. But guys like Roquan, their tackle rate is so elite. He produces, last year he was 18.9% tackle rate. Now, you remember I just said Zach Baum was 19.7, which was astronomical, and we are absolutely expecting some regression. But Roquan Smith is Hall of Fame worthy. I think he maintains that 18 to 19% tackle rate. Wow. He's done it for the last couple of years. Last year, he had 9-plus tackles in 9 of his 15 full games. So he's pretty matchup proof. And I do think, like you said, this is going to be a fairly active game. And you'll notice he's at 8.5 as opposed to 7.5 for Bond and Williams. So the books are giving him a little bit more, but I don't think it's enough. I mean, we got a lot of value out of books underestimating how elite Roquan Smith is.
Yeah. Justin Varnes, very elite when it comes to IDP hashtag analysis. That's why he's at down with IDP on the X machine. And by the way, if you Google IDP podcast, by the way, second one that comes up, IDP Fantasy Football Podcast with Justin and Tom Simons. Great stuff, Justin. Thanks a lot. We'll catch up with you down the line to get some more IDP winners. Brent Whitefield on the other side. But first, the wait is over. College football has kicked off and the NFL season begins this week. Now is the time to lock in your edge with VSiN Pro. Sign up today and you'll get both the NFL and college football betting guides, your playbooks for the entire season. And that's just the start. You'll also receive daily best bets from our experts, DraftKings and Circa betting splits updated in real time, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, advanced analytics and betting tools at VSiN.com. Get started for just $9.95 or $9.89 or save 50% with an annual plan. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Yeah, I've always been a 95 person. Had a subscription website where it was $29.95 forever. Not 99, but that's a preference. Brent Whitefield is a preference of mine because he has an elite football mind, and he'll join us next here on this Wednesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Wednesday edition of Prop Points continues right now on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. And without any further ado, we go to the Progressive Guest Line from FantasyPoints.com. He's one of the big wigs over there. He's on the X machine at BG Whitefield. It's Brent Whitefield with the most intelligently scheduled vacation of all time. Still on that vacay, which ends in days, because he's going to be in a cave for the next 4 months, plus looking at film and data. But I know you're very well rested, Brett. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, elite timing on the vacation. This is the second year in a row we've done this, trying to get everybody, you know, all that family time in before we're on the grind. So, you know, it is what it is. It's a little inconvenient because I'm coming home tomorrow right before the game. But it's great timing. I come into the season well rested.
I bet you're building up like an extra energy for the next 5-6 weeks at least by doing this vacation. Great idea. Well, let's get into it. We've got a little bit of a potpourri here. We've got some season long props that people obviously can get down on, and then we've got some week one props, a couple of them. But we'll start. We don't even need to say the last name at this juncture. Let's talk Ricky. You like Ricky over 850.5. I like Ricky. I love Ricky like a son, minus 114. You are the first person to alert me to Ricky at the Senior Bowl, and I quickly adopted him. But what do you have on Ricky?
For me, I think the books are still underrating what his role was in the offense last year to close the season. If you took that season and broke it into two, basically, you know, divided his routes run in half and looked at two separate seasons of Ricky Pearsall, what you see is the environment in the role that he grew into was like, it was ridiculous. Right. I mean, his first read share went up 10%. The design target rate went up 10%. His win rate versus man coverage all the way up to 30%. Zone win rate went up. Route distribution evened out. So he's running like 40% short routes, 40% intermediate, 15% deep, and the rest is screens and design stuff. And what really that shows you is that he was the alpha down the stretch last year. And I think that's going to be the role in the offense with Brandon Ayuk on the shelf till God knows when, you know, Juwan Jennings in a calf injury / contract battle. Obviously, Kittle's always going to be Kittle, but I think Ricky has the opportunity to be, you know, the man. And we haven't seen a San Francisco 49ers offense not produce a really good receiver in the last, you know, 5-6 years. So I'm pretty, you know, looking forward. I think 850 is low. I don't think the books are even close to where his role is going to be right now. And so I'm all in on Ricky P. I think he's going to make me look like a smart man.
Yeah, yours truly as well. Over 850.5 minus 114. This is over at FanDuel, by the way. Jameson Williams, a little polarizing still. 900.5 yards minus 114. I'm in on the over despite the loss of Ben Johnson. I think that's kind of the crux of the matter. People are a little skeptical, but I do think that Jameson, I am a little worried about no Ben Johnson, but I'm not worried about the fact or my opinion that Jameson Williams is still ascending. But what do you see on J-Mo?
Yeah, the main thing for me is I think people are overstating the no Ben Johnson thing a little bit. I'm not going to say it's not a little concerning, but man, this is Dan Campbell's offense. He designed the offense. Right. Ben Johnson was, you know, someone he put in charge there to run the offense, but Dan was equally part of that process, those play calling duties. So I think people are overstating that a little bit. They also brought in John Morton, who's a well-respected guy in the NFL. He had four offensive coordinator offers this offseason. He chose the Lions because of his relationship with Dan Campbell, and he was previously with the Lions. So I like the continuity aspect there. I don't think really anything changes from a philosophical standpoint. Then they brought in new blood, David Shaw, Bruce Gradkowski, Tashard Choice. These are all well-respected dudes in the space. So I think, you know, if anything, I think there's a chance this Lions offense could get even better, just because the talent keeps growing, and they just keep bringing in more and more minds for that collaborative effort. But also Jameson Williams, I mean, he missed three games last season with a suspension, and he still broke the 900 receiving yard prop that's out there. Yeah. And then you look at the role that he got down the stretch. We saw Amon-Ra's role take kind of a dip when you look at first read rate, you know, target share, things of that nature. And Jameson's go up and up and up throughout the season. And then I have to throw out what I saw in camp. I know you're a big vibe guy, John, right? I went down in camp. I watched, you know, I don't know, 6 or 7 practices, and most notably against the Miami Dolphins. And the way they're using J-Mo is a little different this year, a little bit more first read heavy in the offense, a lot of slot usage. Yeah. It's not only deep stuff. It's, hey, we're going to get him touches in the short part of the field and let him go to town with yak, stuff like that. So I think his target share goes way up this year. I think 900 yards is super safe. Like, I think – I actually – John, this is a hot take. I think he could have more yards than Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think St. Brown still leads the way in terms of targets, but J-Mo is so efficient with the ball in his hands. I do think he could actually surpass St. Brown in the yardage department.
Totally with you. Baker Mayfield next on your list, over 38.5. I mean, look, I've always been a Baker person. Didn't rank him high enough last year. Gotta say, though, I am a little worried about no Liam Cohen. I know it's a similar offense. All the injuries, Tristan Wirfs, but yet this is a pretty easy number, right? 3,800.5. What do you got on Baker?
Yeah, you kind of nailed it. I mean, I think people are panicking because no Liam Cohen, right? But Baker's now done this 2 years in a row, one with Cohen, one with Dave Canales. Josh Grizzard was in the room with Liam Cohen last year. I mean, this is again, similar to the Lions situation. We're getting some continuity here because Grizzard is familiar with how the offense was run last year. I think you're going to see a lot of those elements remain. And then I think something that's kind of cool is before Grizzard was with Cohen in Tampa, he was with Mike McDaniel over in Miami. And in that 2022-2023 season where that Miami offense was insanely explosive. So I think you might get some even more explosive, you know, concepts and looks there that really kind of just it raises the floor for Baker even higher. I think 3,800 is like easy, not to mention the fact that I think Tampa Bay is a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They added another receiver in the first round. I think, you know, with guys like Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff, and I think what teams have realized is, like, as long as we keep the cupboard full of talent, these guys can perform at a really, really high level. Baker's one of those guys, and adding Emeka Egbuka, you already have Mike Evans. Chris Godwin will be back. The offensive line is awesome. The run game's good. Everything's lining up for Baker to have an awesome season again. I think he's going to be in the MVP conversation. You know, I think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender here.
And C.J. Stroud, also over 3,800.5. You know, I'm not in on Stroud, but I love Nico. And I kind of like Christian Kirk as a sneaky pick. And very late, everyone's forgotten Dalton Schultz exists. But what do you have on C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, to me, this was another really safe number with what third – I think the same number as Baker Mayfield, right? So – you know, Stroud yep. smashed this his rookie year. He kind of fell off a little bit last year, but you're bringing in new blood as an offensive coordinator, Nick Cayley, who is, partially from that Rams system, but he also brings the elements of the Earhart Perkins system from the Josh McDaniels days in New England. I really like this blend with CJ Stroud. I think the one deficiency in Stroud's game that I continually rag on is the way he feels pressure in the pocket and, you know, extending plays too long. Well, I feel like Nick Cayley, like, his specialty is fixing that. He's going to force CJ Stroud to get into those checkdowns and just live to see another down. All of that stuff should make Stroud and that offense way more efficient. Not to mention the fact we have, you know, you mentioned Christian Kirk. That's a huge upgrade as a reliable slot guy. Nico is, I think, a top five wide receiver in the NFL. And then you add Jaden Higgins to the mix, who is another baller. He can play the X. He can play, you know, the flanker. He can be a big slot weapon as well. I think, All things included, I think, you know, the sky is really the limit for CJ Stroud. He's another one where I think he's a dark horse MVP candidate this year. I think Houston's, you know, they're ready to rock. The defense is awesome. The big wild card that I think people will point to is the offensive line, right? They completely shuffled it.
Yep.
We got to see how that shakes out. But I really liked Ariante Ursary coming out, the left tackle they have there now. I think he elevates the floor of the room. And I think, you know, as long as they can just be average, I think Stroud should shatter this number.
Time flies when you're talking with Brett Whitefield. We actually ran out of time as we usually do, but you also like James Conner this week over 65.5 over at Fanatics and Brian Thomas Jr. over 73.5. I know you're in on BTJ. Babies being born this month are in on BTJ, Brett, because he's really good and everyone knows it. On the X Machine at BG Whitefield. Great stuff, Brett. We'll talk to you next week. We do want to remind you this show is sponsored by Better. If you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge, you can turn it into real cash fast. And here's how it works. You download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. You watch the action unfold. If your pick hits, you win. Right now, a very special offer, a free $10. No deposit necessary. NBA, WNBA, MLB, it's all there. They're giving you a $40 for every friend you get. Try Better Picks. The word is they're only doing this for the first 2 weeks. Head on over to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download the Better app from the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store. Promo code VSIN for a free $10.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here on a Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in to Prop Points here on VSIN. I'm John Hansen. We're going to go real quick through the totals on the board to see what type of insight we can pull from the numbers. But a couple of quick updates here as we navigate live. On a Wednesday afternoon, Khalil Shakir was out there doing some practice work. So in play for week one, Matt LaFleur said he's hopeful that Micah Parsons can play this coming week against the Lions week one. Adam Schefter, our guy, reporting that Elijah Vera Tucker suffered a torn tricep. So here we go. Jet's going to jet. Let's see about a second opinion. Is he done for the year? I mean, come on, Jets. You couldn't even get to week one. I'm saying all offseason, your O-line looks better than it's looked for 10 years, and now it doesn't. Unbelievable. Jets continue to jet. And then Christian Gonzalez did not practice on Wednesday. Uh-oh, we'll see if he goes. He's the top corner there for the Patriots. Well, let's get into it, and we're going to list these in order of the highest totals. That's what we want. Let's see. Let's take a look and see where we are. I think I lost my place. Here we go. Top game on the board is Ravens-Bills. No surprise. 50.5. You know, both defenses solid, but these teams are a little bit more about offense, and we're expecting offense, even though, you know, Khalil Shakir may not play, but nothing of note injury-wise for the Ravens other than Isaiah Likely, who I don't think is going to play. Next up is the Cowboys-Eagles tomorrow. That is the second highest total at 47.5. A couple of division rivals that know each other well. Home opener in Philly, it's going to be, you know, loud. It's going to be intense. There's no doubt about it. I'm from Philadelphia, just moved from the area a year plus ago. So I know that they're going to be annoying. They'll be obnoxious, quite frankly, in Philadelphia. I can say that because I'm from the area. Maybe I can't. Tampa at Atlanta. We're seeing a pretty good total here of 57.5. You know, one of the top totals on the board. What are we hearing? We're looking at, well, I mean, this is a tough one because, you know, the Falcons lost their right tackle and they didn't play their guys much in the preseason. Good vibes on Drake London, but they're thin at receiver. I guess the number is saying that the Bucs are good. You know, their offense is potent because this is a pretty big number here for a team with some issues. Like the Bucs do have some injury problems. Dolphins, Colts. I love it. This is fairly high on the board, despite the fact that, you know, it's Daniel Jones. But that's one of the top five stories I'm looking forward to this week, is to see how well Danny Dimes can do, because there is a lot to work with. So I think the books are recognizing that this could be a little higher scoring. You know, both defenses are not great, and both offenses are potentially potent. Bengals at Browns, another high total here at 47.5. I do worry just a tad about Joey Burrow, the Ohio native in Cleveland. It hasn't gone all that well. But the good news is worked out a lot this summer, got a lot of reps in. So he should be a lot sharper right out of the gate in week one than usual. Oh, and by the way, with this high total, I think we're also seeing, and that the books feel like I feel, that Bengal defense going to stink again this year. And Joe Burrow's going to have to throw it a lot. You know, Hendrickson is back, but that's kind of their only pass rusher. And he might be a little slow out of the gate after the hold in, hold out. Next up, we've got Detroit at Green Bay. I feel pretty good about this one. Kind of a start him if you got him game, you know, especially your Lions. Green Bay is not that easy to figure. Matthew Golden, that would be a leap of faith, but we're not going to have a boring slugfest game here with this total of 46.5. These teams know each other pretty well, of course. Carolina at Jacksonville. Like, these are two offenses that have not exactly lit it up, yet we've got a rock-solid total of 46.5. What is that telling us? I think it's telling us that both offenses should be improved and both defenses are still suspect. That's what it's telling us. Kansas City at the LA Chargers, 45.5, could be a little higher. Maybe part of this is no Rashee Rice, Najee Harris a little iffy, some other things going on here. But, you know, I think it's telling us to don't expect the world, but this is not going to be a snooze fest either. Giants at Commanders, 45.5. It's kind of a mid of the pack toward the bottom, 45.5. I don't really have too much insight here. Maybe the number is somewhat low, despite Jaden Daniels being a future star based on what he showed last year. Maybe we're giving a little love to the Giants here, and maybe we're also kind of expecting DC to take a little bit of a step back. you know, if the Giants, though, if their secondary can play at a relatively high level, I don't know how you're blocking everybody on that defensive front. So they are going to be a little dangerous, a little scary. Minnesota Vikings at the Bears, 44.5. What is this line telling us? Well, Vikings had one of the most potent. I mean, if you look at the skill players in the game, it's telling us that this is not going to be up to those expectations with all these high pedigree guys on offense. You know, Caleb Williams, McCarthy, two first-round quarterbacks. You got first-round wide receivers on the field, and Addison and Jefferson and DJ Moore and Adunze. A lot of dudes here, yet it's only 44.5. I think the books are telling us the Vikings may be a little conservative to open the season, especially on the road, and Caleb Williams and the Bear offense might not be ready for prime time right out of the gate with Ben Johnson. Raiders, Patriots, 43.5. Lower total, probably telling us let's not go overboard here on our enthusiasm for Drake May and the Patriots. It's just one game of 17. Raider D, certainly beatable, not a sieve. So not much here. 49ers Seahawks. I'm surprised that this thing is as low. I thought it was a little higher. Maybe it's been bet down a little bit. Maybe what we're learning there is that the Niners are going to be run heavy. They're a little thin at receiver and all that. And maybe also that Seattle is going to be also run heavy. So, you know, we might not run off a ton of plays, but a lot of running plays called. Texans at Rams. Uh-oh. This is a lower number for two teams that are pretty well equipped. What that tells me is that Stafford didn't do a lot this summer. And, oh, by the way, the Houston Texans D is really good. Really, really good. So, I'm not saying head for the hills as it relates to Puka Nacua and Devontae, but I'm not looking at Stafford this week. Cardinals Saints, one of the lower totals on the board, third lowest, 43.5. It's telling us the Cardinals, you know, if you get past Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride, by the way, they have the worst receiving core in the league. I could be their sixth receiver. I think they're that bad. Tennessee at Denver, 42.5. I think Denver's D is good. Titans are going to be conservative. This is not going to be a bonanza. You know, Bo Nix wasn't incredible this summer. Then last but not least, Steelers and Jets, the Aaron Rodgers revenge game. They're telling us in with this number that don't expect a lot of offense, don't expect a lot of fireworks, don't expect a lot of big plays. Expect them to be handing the ball off quite a bit. That is a wraparoni on the program. We do have one thing left to come here, and we'll talk about it right now. It is a best bet, and it is for tomorrow's game. It's brought to you by GBank. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cash back reward bonus. Once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa signature card, while most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3 to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. And stay tuned right after we sign off with Prop Points. It is Money Moves with Stormy Bonatani and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern. Today's show, Kendall Valenzuela dives into fantasy football strategies for bettors. That's followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern, VSiN Prime Time at 7 with Matt Brown and Mike Somich. And my best bet is, in fact, Devontae Smith over 54.5 receiving yards at minus 112. I do think the Eagles are going to have to throw it just a little bit more. A.J. Brown was kind of on the shelf, and pretty good matchup inside for Devontae that we'll get to tomorrow. That's a wrap. We'll catch him mañana for another edition of Prop Points.